Welcome to Career Tools. This is Wendy.
And this is Amanda.
Today's cast, what to do when you get a raise.
The questions that this cast answers are, how shall I spend my raise? Why shouldn't I spend my raise right away? And what's the smartest way to use my increased income?
If you want the answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Did you know that if you sign up for any of our licensed products, you automatically receive a free Manager Tools disc? You might have been considering disc or maybe a license, and now you get both. Try Career Tools, Manager Tools, or Executive Tools license and get a disc profile. More details at manager-tools.com/licenses.
So we all want a raise. It doesn't matter what the company or the environment or the economy or anything else is doing. Nobody is ever paid enough for the work that they do. And most spend our time when we're thinking about we should get a raise, spending it in our heads, like fantasy spending, how much we would get and what we would spend it on. And we just dream about those things. And every day, though, when we're working hard and we're thinking, this is going to get me a raise, what we're really thinking is, this is going to get me a raise, and then I'm going to spend it on, I don't know, maybe that's just me.
No, that's spend it on the vacation.
Yes. And so our guidance when you get that raise is really simple. Pretend it didn't happen, which might seem strange for something that we consider, most people consider, a major workplace motivator. But treating your raise as invisible isn't just financially prudent. It helps put money where it belongs, which is in the not motivational at all category. More money is surprisingly unmotivational for people's work. They're much more motivated by what they're doing and why they're doing it than more money. And you don't know that until you get a raise and you discover your job's exactly the same as it was the day before. You just have a bit more money. And that bit is never as much as you think it is, because by the time the tax is taken out and it makes it to your bank account and it's been apportioned over 12 months or 52 weeks or however you're paid, it's never what you think it's going to be. So whilst we're all working towards a raise, let's talk about what we're going to do when we get it so that we make the most of it.
So what we're going to cover today is, first, pretend it didn't happen. Then fight lifestyle inflation and invest the difference. Then lastly, make strategic upgrades.
So first, pretend it didn't happen. So at least as far as your spending goes, pretend the raise didn't happen. Keep living on the income that you had previous to the raise. And of course, we want you to acknowledge the achievement. Appreciate your own hard work and the others that made it happen. Potentially your family who supported you through extra hours, whatever. Like, let's celebrate all of those people. We want to thank our boss if our boss was the one who helped get us a raise, and other people if they were involved. Clearly, if you share your finances with somebody, your spouse or another family member or just somebody you meet off the street, whoever you share your finances with, telling them that you got a raise is helpful. Otherwise, they're a bit confused when that extra money comes into the bank and they might well spend it. And also, when it actually arrives, you want to verify the amount is correct and that it's actually arriving in the bank account that you intended it to go to. So in those senses, we don't want you to ignore the raise. And you can even have a short vacation or a nice dinner, something to celebrate the fact that you've got this raise. But when it comes to the month in, month out spending of that extra money, what we're telling you to do, what we're advising you to do, is avoid making lifestyle changes that commit the raise for future spending.
And we all realize that we can live on our current income because you've been doing it before you got the raise. And we often motivate ourselves to pursue a promotion or a raise by dreaming about what we'll do with that extra money. Like Wendy said earlier, we all have those dreams of what we could do with, I like to think, lottery money, not just promotion, but it's fun. And the first step in continuing to live on your original income after a raise is to avoid spending time beforehand imagining how you'll spend the additional money. It's much easier to restrict our spending if we haven't already imagined using that money. Essentially, don't spend it before you get it, right? Think about what you can do on your current budget. So regardless of the extra income, you're stable.
I'm pretty sure that's what my grandmother used to tell me. But actually, it's not just old-fashioned advice. Research shows that our brain doesn't distinguish between imagination and reality. So, for example, athletes who are injured can prevent losing muscle strength by imagining exercising those muscles, which is weird, but apparently true. And similarly, if we spend time imagining a bigger bank account and spending that extra money, our brain treats it as if it's already happened, which makes it harder to resist when that money actually arrives. It's like, I already did this. We've been doing this. Why would I stop myself now?
I'm already okay with it.
Yeah. And in fact, I've already talked myself into it, right? That's the other thing. In fact, research into financial planning shows that if you visualize having more money, you can make less sensible financial decisions because your brain literally thinks, oh, we have that money. Excellent. I'll do what I want with it, even though it doesn't exist. So whilst there are theories about manifesting and dreaming of what you want, which work. And I think that the muscle strengthening exercise proves that. We also have to be careful of what our brain does with that information when we give it to it.
And initially, you want to send the difference between your current salary and the new one to a savings account. We'll talk about what to do with that money longer term in just a moment. But for now, just get it away from any account that allows you to spend it easily. And it'll give yourself some time to make better decisions, you and whomever else is involved in those decisions. There's a big difference between the one-off celebration dinner to say, yes, congratulations on your promotion that we suggested earlier, and purchasing an upgraded vehicle that commits you to those increased payments over a very long time and those extra insurance fees and that fuel cost, because of course you're going to get the supercharger, right? Mm-hmm. Now you're at 91 octane. So really think about it. And if it's kind of out of sight, out of mind, if it's not in your spending account, if it's hidden, you don't visually miss it.
Yeah. And it occurs to me that if you got a raise of $500 a month and your increased car payment was $500 a month, which is fine this year, but next year when the insurance goes up, like there's no space in that $500. You haven't got any headroom on it. So,
and insurance always goes up.
Exactly.
Every year.
And so just fuel, it seems. Yeah. Next, fight lifestyle inflation. So this is kind of the same idea, but longer term. So for 1 year after getting your raise, don't increase your spending on bigger, better, or more frequent purchases. First, they don't make you happier. So if you want to go look into the psychology of that, we don't do psychology, but there is plenty of research out there that says having more things just doesn't make you happier. And second, they hinder you in reaching your longer term goals. By waiting a year before increasing your spending, you give yourself and your family time to make thoughtful, rational decisions about your money. And there are so many people we know that we hear from who are trapped in jobs or industries that they hate because of the lifestyle that they have, the salary that they need to keep the lifestyle that they have. And we don't want that for you. So that's why we're trying to encourage you to make more careful, more rational decisions.
And if it's really a good idea in a couple months or a year, it's still going to be a good idea because we have a lot of good ideas. And the next day you're like, oh, actually, no, good ideas stay good ideas over time. So keep that in mind. And just know that the bigger car, the gym membership, the larger house, those private schools, those very nice exotic vacations, upscale shopping, that housekeeping service, extra grocery delivery, all of these things that we associate with a better life represent what's known as lifestyle inflation. While there's nothing wrong with wanting or deserving these upgrades, psychologists have found that they don't increase happiness the way that we expect. Instead, we experience hedonic adaptation, where that new car brings joy for about a month or two before we adjust to it and return back to our baseline level of happiness. Essentially, you get the new fancy car. You have it for a month or two, puts a smile on your face, and then you say, what's next? Because now that car, there's a newer version, a faster version. And then you go back to just wanting it, even though it's very short-lived. And to recapture that joy, you feel compelled to get that next new car. And if you've ever felt like you're working just to afford the lifestyle you already have, you've likely already fallen victim to that hedonic treadmill of just getting in that space of, yes, I did it. Now what's next? Because there's always an upgrade. Someone's always going to have the nicer version of what you have. And it doesn't make you happy except that initial, dare I say, purchase. Increases that endorphins right there.
There's plenty of times that Amanda and I, like you, are probably thinking or have thought and said, hey, just let me try it. But like, get me the nice car and I'll try whether or not it makes me happy, which is, you know, we're not any different to you in that sense. We're not trying to come at this from a place of we know better, because we only know better because we've found ourselves in the same place, I think.
Absolutely. This podcast really hits home for me. And I'm sure if my husband is listening, he knows exactly what we're talking about when we get a car and I'm like, oh, but what's next? Yeah, he loves those conversations. So it's really good for me to hear this.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
I once read something about writers that says writers write for themselves, which a lot of the time when I'm writing podcasts, and that's true, I'm writing it for myself, not for you. Anyway.
When I read this, I was like, Wendy wrote it for me. Like she knows I was just talking about another car. And yeah.
So lifestyle inflation isn't just about big purchases, because you might be able to resist buying a bigger car because cars don't mean anything to you, but you might fall prey to the small everyday treats that you feel you deserve, like a fancy coffee or a nicer restaurant for date night or a premium subscription for your streaming services and your websites. And those small increases add up quickly, and they can prevent you from making more meaningful investments, because a daily $5 coffee is $1,800 annually, which is enough for a nice vacation or a significant contribution to your vacation, your retirement fund. And when it comes to spending money, it's all about what's important to you. And maybe that daily coffee does make every day better for you, but you got to do that rationally and not just doing it because you want that feeling and then never thinking, wow, should I have saved it and put it towards my retirement instead? Would that make me happier at the end of the year?
This doesn't mean you should never make those big purchases or enjoy the small luxuries. That new car might make perfect sense for your growing family and might be necessary because your current vehicle is becoming too expensive to maintain because it's 10 years old and the maintenance isn't worth it. We're not saying that you can't use your raise for important purchases. Rather, we just want to caution you against the trap of increased spending simply to keep up with the Joneses, or because we deserve it. And just so you know, we know you do.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's a smarter route long-term. And too often people find themselves stuck in those jobs, the companies or locations that they hate because they've committed to that lifestyle and that spending and they can't get out of it. So as the saying goes, more money, more problems, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So the longer term aim for this difference that we have between our old salary and our new salary is to invest it. And there are plenty of sensible investments to make, and which you choose depends on your current financial situation and your family goals. And you potentially need a financial advisor to tell you which of these will work. But some potential uses: boost your retirement contributions, whether through workplace plans, personal pensions, or government retirement schemes. Build your emergency fund in an easily accessible high-yield savings account. The emergency fund is not just for your house or your car or whatever dying. It's also that 6 months' salary so that if you lose your job, you have money to survive on while you look for another job.
You want to use it to pay down high-interest debt, especially credit cards, those personal loans, or any debt with above-market interest rates. And if you're young and in your career, I bet there's some school student loans.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, those. When I had my student loans, my mom's like, you know, that $5 coffee is actually $20 once you pay off your student loan. So really think about it. Student loans. So get ahead on those, because long term, those cost you a lot more than, I guess, sometimes holding on to it. You'll also want to set money aside for healthcare costs through dedicated health savings plans where available, or a separate medical emergency fund, because we never expect those medical emergencies. And as everyone knows, they can get very spendy very quickly, and you don't want to be in a situation where you don't have anything to fall back on in case.
And
the worst case.
cat healthcare plans too.
Dogs too.
Yes. All your animals need their healthcare plan saving account. Not that we found that out the hard way. Start an education fund for your children's future schooling or university expenses. And not all, I didn't say this earlier, not all of these apply in every country, depending on where you're listening. You potentially don't need a healthcare plan, but we're just trying to give some suggestions so that you have ideas about what to think about. Like, if you're sitting here thinking, I'll send my raise on a new car, what else could I spend it on? Well, these are some of the options.
Yeah, more long-term investments. You could make extra payments on your property loan, reducing the principal on your mortgage or home loan. And anyone in finance will say making two payments a month can put a bigger dent in your long-term payments. Now, please don't make me do math, because this was something I learned early in life and there's a math formula to it, but being able to make a second mortgage payment within a month can really have an impact long-term when you have the opportunity to.
Start a diversified investment portfolio through low-cost index funds or other broadly diversified investments. Not qualified to tell you anything more than that, other than ask a financial advisor, but they yes. exist.
If I had a dollar for every time my mom talked about this, I probably wouldn't need to diversify, but here we are. And fund tax advantage savings through government-supported investments or retirement vehicles available in your country. So again, this might not apply to everything, but it's something to look into when you have that extra income that you don't want to spend or you don't need to spend right away to give you some more long-term benefits.
And while you're deciding how to invest, don't forget to consider whatever the tax implications are of your raise and take any actions you need to make sure you've covered those obligations. And moving from the UK to the US and finding out about taxes is just, it's a shock. So I always remember that. So if you have extra money, make sure you've put the tax away.
For so many years, we've been asked, okay, so what's next after the effective manager? And the wait is over. Beyond the Effective Manager is here, the Manager Tools Effective Senior Manager Organizational Training. For organizations with senior or upper level managers wanting to improve beyond the day-to-day managerial behaviors, this guidance will make them more effective. Organizational management, the idea of Team One, effective reach, and executive assistance will be part of the training. This on-site training is a full day from 8 to 5. Contact Maggie to discuss scheduling this training at the same pricing as our other organizational standard training days.
So now, if you are going to spend it, let's spend it strategically.
So finally, we're talking about how you can spend the money that you've worked so hard for. By being smart and selective about what you spend your money on, you can enjoy it, use it to build your life, and give you long-term value. So here's the part that I like to talk about, spending it.
Yay. So invest in your health. You only have one body and it supports your future earning. Your brain runs off your body and your brain is what earns you money. So as Mark Horseman, Manager Tools co-founder, likes to remind us, mens sana in corpore sano, meaning a healthy mind in a healthy body. A gym membership, better running shoes, ergonomic office furniture, it's not just an expense. It's an investment in your long-term well-being. So choose improvements that encourage consistent, healthy habits rather than short-term fixes. It would be better to have a gym membership and go every twice a week for the whole year than, you know, some kind of surgery that doesn't last or whatever. But on the other hand, it might be surgery that you need, and that's the investment in your health that you make.
If you want a quick endorphin rush, working out is a solid way to do that instead of making big purchases. You can improve your skills. So professional certifications, courses, conferences, or coaching can increase your future potential and job security. Look for learning opportunities that align with your career goals or help you develop valuable new capabilities. So invest in yourself. You can invest in your health. You can invest in your learning. And I imagine if you're listening to this right now, you're looking to learn or invest in yourself. So you can take that extra money and go to that conference that you've been waiting to go to, or take that training you know could help you long term. That's a sound investment in yourself.
And dare we suggest Manager Tools, conferences, and licenses?
Here we are.
Feel free to invest your money with us. Choose quality over quantity. So when making purchases, opt for well-made items that last longer and perform better. When you've been operating on a tight budget, when you haven't had much money for a really long time, you get into that habit of just buying the thing that's cheapest because that's all you can afford. But there's benefits to being able to buy bigger, to make it more of an investment. So as an example, if you just go to the dollar store and buy dish liquid, it's, I don't know, 100 milliliters. It's just like a 4 ounces bottle. And it's only $125, and if you only have $125, then it's perfect. But if you've got more money than that and you can go to Costco and get the, you know, the bulk one, sure, you have to shell out the $20 for it, but it lasts much longer and it's a better deal. So that's kind of the idea of when you've had little money for a long time, it's hard to get out of that and make the investment and take the opportunity of the benefit of that money. As things like credit card points, there's a lot of people that take their own vacations on credit card points. But if you've never had a credit card and been able to pay it off every month, then like using those points or using them to get points is always like a mindset shift. So using the money you have wisely and being able to make like bigger investments in things that will last longer, it's a mindset shift that you'll have to make. But if you can make it, it means that that money that you earned goes even further.
My biggest example is athletic wear and shoes. Like once you buy really good athletic wear, the upside is it lasts forever, even if you use it constantly. The downside is you don't get to buy new ones. So I buy everything is black because it never goes out of style. And unfortunately, I don't get to buy it all that often because it lasts so much longer than the cheaper ones that I used to buy that would stretch out. So if you like to shop for that stuff, it's a good investment and you don't get to shop very often for it.
You have to go to the gym and use those endorphins.
Yeah. Yes. Make sure you focus on long-term value. So before making any purchase, consider its impact over years rather than months. Home improvements that reduce energy cost or tools that help you work more efficiently or those learning resources that will help expand your capabilities all offer lasting returns on your investment. By spending strategically now, you can make your raise work for you long after that initial excitement has worn off. So again, it's considering those long-term investments. So when you think in terms of time, make sure if you're, closer to the end of your career, maybe courses are not the answer for that long-term investment. However, if you're early in your career, you get that bump, you can really use that to your advantage and have something else on your resume. So if worst case scenarios happen, you know, you're making an investment in yourself. So really consider home improvements. It's fun now, but a lot of those designs don't pan out long-term and you end up having to like redesign your house before you can sell it. Mm-hmm. So really think about if it's worth it at the time and how that's going to impact 10 years from now or 5 years from now. It can make a huge difference.
On the other hand, they say live in the house that you live in. So, you know, getting a raise is usually hard won. There's always like, if for every like bon mot that tells you to save, there's one that tells you to spend, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it's a balance. It's what you're willing to live with for your life. These are just suggestions. Or sometimes we just need to hear other people say like, oh yeah, I did that faux pas.
Yeah.
And it cost me. Or someone's like, nope, I would pay all that money again to redesign my kitchen because it makes me happy. And it might not be what everybody loves, but I can live in it for the next 15 years and that's my long-term investment. So
yeah, it's definitely about spending money on the things that are important to you and not the things that aren't. Getting a raise is usually a hard one and very exciting, like has been for me.
Congratulations.
By the time that cash hits your bank account, it's tempting to spend it on all the things you've been dreaming about. And whilst it may seem boring to be sensible with this hard-earned money, making careful decisions now gives you more options for the future. Too many people, like we've said, find themselves trapped in the paycheck to paycheck cycle. Isn't there a stat that like 80% of Americans couldn't deal with a $400 emergency because they're living paycheck? It's like horrific. So by resisting the urge to immediately increase your spending, you keep the dollars working for you instead of working to maintain a lifestyle that could become your gilded cage. Take it from two people that have made all the mistakes. That's the whole point of when we started Managed Tools and Career Tools, it was like, don't make the mistakes that we made. Like, we're going to tell you what to do to miss out that stage of learning where you have to make the mistake to learn. This is one of those casts that takes me back right to the beginning of like, don't do the things that we did. Do the sensible thing.
Yeah, it's had I actually followed through earlier, I would be in a better financial place. So it's just helpful reminders sometimes too.
Yeah. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks, everyone. That's all for this week. Join us next week as we cover a new topic. Bye, everyone.
Bye.